It's a blockbuster episode for Eurobash episode 73 as we're joined by Darren Till, Piotr Jan and Pedro Carvalho. How are you, Noel McGrath? I'm a bit in a bad way after the crying wedding of 2020.
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm actually in good form. My brain, we're doing it a little bit earlier than normal. My brain's a little bit all over the place still, as you know. It's sort of like, it's a warming up process for me.
It usually only hits peak conversational hours at about midnight.
4 a.m. Yeah, well, that's pretty fair. That actually is pretty fair. I'll give you that one. So, no, listen, it's been a mad week. I've had mad hours all over the place with the fights on, getting up, staying up till 7 a.m., then back in the office on Sunday morning, all over the place. But yeah, I am. Coffee, boo.
That sounds, there you go. Sound riveting. I think usually when we do it earlier, you don't have this kind of energy. I think some of the energy might be because of that fantastic Darren Till interview people are going to hear in about 10 minutes. We finally got him. We bagged the Scouser.
Yeah, we did.
Do you think the listeners gave him peer pressure after last week's episode when we were saying about his somewhat...
Speak of the devil, he just texted me there another one of the screenshots. But yeah, maybe they did. He's been very friendly. Maybe he listened to the episode and went, I'm screwing these lads around a bit.
I love Noel and Petey. I need to help them.
Yeah, 100%.
Help us, Darren Till. You're our only hope. But yeah, huge weekend of fights, obviously, at UFC 248. Cage Warriors 112 was insane as well. I was doing my best to watch them while I was at this wedding. But tremendous, as we know, Wiley Zhang and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, probably one of the greatest fights ever at the weekend. Absolutely incredible showing from both of them.
Shite.
It was really hard to tell who won that fight. At the very end, I had absolutely no idea what way it was going to go. And we'll be talking about that more later. Yeah. But shall we hit up the latest news headlines?
Do it.
Piotr Jan meets Marlon Moraes in the main event of UFC Kazakhstan on June 13th. Excuse me. Cyril Gane is out of his meeting with Shamil Abdurakhimov at UFC 249. Curtis Blaydes meets Alexander Volkov in the UFC Saskatoon main event on June 20th. And from Sam Grimes this morning... which he saw on a bus stop. Peter Queeley and Pitbull looks like they're meeting in the main event of Bellator Dublin on October 3rd. We believe that was slipped out there by accident this morning. Liam McCourt takes on Sarah Harding at May's Bellator London. Matthews Gamrot is back in action this weekend, next weekend, sorry, at lightweight when he takes on Edmilson Sosa at KSW 53. Pudzianowski is out of the same card. He was meant to meet Quinton Domingos on that card. Ian Garry will no longer compete at Cage Warriors London. He's now targeting May's Belfast show. And Aries 2 has been postponed due to coronavirus. My God. Are you worried at all, tell me now, that UFC London could be hit by this? You kind of keep saying this to me.
Yeah, I just...
Playing with my emotions.
I think, you know, if we look at what's going on around the world and around the globe in terms of the numbers of people that are getting affected... The number of events that are being cancelled, you know, here in Dublin, obviously this morning, we've had Ireland and France cancelled this weekend for the Six Nations. Later tomorrow night, tonight, shows we released. PSG's game at home is being played behind closed doors. So it's saying to me, the more this spreads, the more people get infected with the coronavirus. The more events we're going to be looking at being postponed, and London could potentially be one of them.
Don't say that to me, man. Big, huge weekend, MMA that weekend. It's a big one for Europe.
I just think, I just think it's the situation we're in, and I think, you know, the more it spreads and the more numbers that people are going to have, they're going to have to start clamping down. They probably should have cancelled a number of events already, but they haven't, so... It shows you how serious the French government are taking. They've had a number of events cancelled across their sporting calendars, so I would not be surprised to see a number of things affected in UK and Ireland in the next number of months and weeks.
I'm staying hopeful it will not be called. But what did you make of this Peter Queeley v Pitbull announcement from Sam Grimes, who took a picture of it on a bus stop this morning?
But it sort of sums up what we've been saying. Like, how does this kind of marketing mess happen? Like, come on, guys, it's wild. Only in Ireland could that happen. Like, but you know, it's very messy. It really is very messy. You know, someone should be getting this story released, or they should be, you know, they should have these things down to a T, and they don't. It's just a bit of a joke, really.
The Bellator big press conference is on today in New York, so I assume that, you know, Queeley and Pitbull, if it's happening, seems like it's happening.
I think it is.
Is going to be announced. And I just wanted to talk a few talking points from last week. Obviously, huge week. There's so many talking points. Yeah, but first one I want to say is everybody wrote Joanna off going into that fight. And no, she didn't get a win. But Jesus Christ, she is absolutely one of the greatest female fighters ever. There was absolutely nothing in that fight. Look at her face at the end of the fight. So many people are saying her chin is gone since that Rose fight. To be honest, after seeing her take the shots that Zhang had there, I think it's the most substantiated I've ever seen her when she's talking about the Rose fight, that first one where she got knocked out and the weight cut and all that. It's hard not to believe that shit when you see how many big, big shots she had of Woili Zhang, who we know is an absolute destroyer, who proved that she's an absolute destroyer in the co-main of UFC 248. But I really feel as though, even though she didn't come away with a win, her stock has gone up.
Again, listen, all week, the way she conducted herself, and I was tweeting about how great she is. I always am, because she is great. She's great for women's mixed martial arts. She's great for promotion of the sport. She's just a fantastic representative. I know she had that corona gaffe beforehand. It was taken with a pinch of salt. She didn't mean to do that. She apologized. But at the end of the day, when you have an athlete like Joanna Jędrzejczyk in mixed martial arts, you know, what she's done for her popularity in Poland is mental. People don't understand how popular she is in Poland. Like, if you look at that fight as well, you have to just remember, Woili Zhang was fading badly after that second round. Joanna came into it way, way, way more in the third, fourth, and fifth championship rounds.
Her gum shield, remember, at the end of
it? Smiling, man. She's an absolute gangster, as I think I tweeted out the other night. And she's, the only thing I will say about the fight, because of the physical toll and nature of the fight, it's one of those fights where, you know, does it change both girls' careers forever? Because it was just such an absolute war. We've seen it happen so many times in mixed martial arts, that kind of, knock-on effect from a fight of that magnitude.
Luckily, now, Joanna's, there's no big, bad injuries. That hematoma obviously looked awful.
It's crazy, man.
But it seems like it's had no
thankfully.
Serious impact, the hematoma anyway, on the brain or anything like that. But absolutely the devastating toll that both of those guys had to take in there. But absolutely one of the best fights I've ever seen.
And I just think, you know, the technical ability is, like, the striking was so good, so clean, so crisp. And, you know, like, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen anything near that level.
And it's way more than just the way she fights, right? As you said earlier, like, I saw people, like, getting upset with the way she faces off. The opponent starts talking.
Rubbish.
You are far more interested in this fight when you see her do that. She knows you are. And
look at her walking.
But it's not a test. It's not just a test to fight Joanna in there when you're in the cage. It's a test beforehand. She's 100%. Like, Woili told her to shut up and all that stuff, but you could see it was messing with her. She didn't know Jesus Christ, this girl's aggressive. Yeah. You know, you could see it in the face-offs. So I think that's two huge tests that Woili Zhang has passed. And look, I can't wait for the fight again. It's probably not going to happen immediately, but Jesus Christ, that fight was just incredible.
It could have gone either way. I had a 2-2 going into the fifth. I did actually make a concerted effort to score, even though it was very exciting. So I had a 2-2 going into the last, and I had 48-47 for Woili. But it literally could have gone either way. And I think if we're looking at that again, and I want to speak about Joanna just at the end of this, before we move on to whatever we're going to move on to. But again, you said it. It's the total package, man. It's what she does before she gets in there. The shit talk, she invests people. Like, look at her walkout even. How good was her walkout? Like, creeping down. It was just deadly. And she keeps it up the whole way through the fight as well. The smile and the talk and the shit talk. Bring it. Touching
the final
her
bell rings.
Unreal.
She's doing the cash sign to Dana White. Like,
brilliant.
She's a gangster. She'll always be Joanna champion to me.
Joanna Queen champion. There we are.
Habib and Tony had a press conference, and it was very interesting. I was half caught watching it, to be honest. I found it very, very entertaining.
It's brilliant, man.
It was,
these guys generally hate each other as well.
You know what? That's what I retook from it, because Habib is not the most, he's a very dark kind of stoic dude, but you could see that whole street fight thing just set him off, and it was great. It went for some fantastic TV. Tony is as outspoken and all over the place as he usually is, and I loved it. Didn't like him telling the guy to fuck off who asked him about being an advocate for mental health, but at the same time, it's still very interesting. how much are you hoping that fight happens?
Listen, you know me, and you know how I feel about this fight. I've wanted this fight to happen for 5 years, and yes, please, God, MMA God, if there is an MMA God, just let this fight happen. I just need
to see
it. We've
been dickheads in the past, MMA God. Right, yeah. We're all putting our hands up here.
This is the one.
This is the only one we want.
This is the biggest fight in terms of
We're never going to ask
contest,
you for anything again after
ever.
This.
It's the biggest fight ever. It really is in terms of an actual contest between two guys where we find it very, very hard to pick who wins. It's an
he'll
insanely good fight. No, Tony elbows him off his back and knocks him out. That's what's going to happen.
he's going to knock him out from guard.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to be something insane from
Imagine
Tony
that
Ferguson. Imagine, it'd be amazing. It's the call of the century, right? it is, man. And I think now we've seen an extra level to this with that press conference with obviously Habib slapping Tony's interim title belt on the ground, kicking it or whatever he did with it. And you saw the interviews obviously after as well, the one-on-ones and the scrums. There's genuine distaste between those two guys. And I think you have, even narrative even there with McGregor as well. And everyone's talking about this rematch. You've already with Paradigm, all that. Tony was openly talking about that as well. So you've elements all over the place here where we can just create a dynasty of this lightweight division. The fights we've all wanted to see for years. I finally feel as though we might get all these fucking fights in the next 12 months.
It's weird, right, though, because obviously this is a huge fight. Mm. And like I feel like Habib and Tony should be all that Dana's talking about when either of those two guys are brought up. But yet again at the press
Connor's
conference...
Connor's bringing his name in.
Yet again at the press conference, he's saying, you know, Connor Habib is going to be bigger than Mayweather and etc. What do you think of Conor obviously getting involved and Habib and him throwing a bit of shit at each other again? I mean, is this just... anytime either of them are going to be in the headlines, are we going to see one kind of throwing
it's all good news for Tony Ferguson. He, you know, he's flying under the radar. You know, Dana White's dismissing him as far as I'm concerned. I think a lot of the media are dismissing him as well. A lot of the fans are dismissing him. He's going to go out about his business
quietly.
I think
they're dismissing him. I think everybody knows this is the best two fighters in the lightweight.
Well, how many times have we heard people talk about you know, a world title rematch between Conor and like, that's
most of them is Dana White, though.
I wouldn't agree with that.
I haven't seen any media members go, I need to see Habib and Conor rematch before I see Habib and Tony. I don't think.
No, but they're talking about the rematch for the world title.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so that's overlooking Tony, in my opinion. But listen, anyway, at the end of the day, I love it. I hope it happens. And, yeah, Conor again, as you know, he's done a great job of keeping his head in there, keeping people interested, keeping people talking. He's been doing it to everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Well, look, let's get on with our first interview of the day. It is the gorilla himself, Darren Till. He caught up with Noel McGrath for a bit of a chin wag about the middleweight championship fight between Israel Adesanya and Yoel Romero. That's kind of earned a lot of criticism, we'll say. And then we'll he obviously talks a bit about this perceived fear of Yoel Romero and the fact that he's not going on the piss for a whole year.
Yeah.
And the fact that welterweight still seems to be an option. And of course, Noel asked him about UFC Dublin Dana White's post UFC 248 comments saying that Darren is most likely to fight there next. So yeah, we'll be back to you guys in about 20 minutes. Here is the fantastic Darren Till, who we never doubted will be back on the
never.
Show, of course.
Delighted to welcome onto the show, have him back on the show. It's been quite a while that we've had him on Eurobash and MMAfighting.com. It is the man. Israel Adesanya had some comments to make about him, and he's obviously a keen onlooker in this middleweight division. It is Darren Till. Darren, my friend, good to have you back on. How's all in Liverpool?
It's good, mate. Liverpool's always good. Cheerful, especially after last night watching Paul Kelly make his long-awaited return. So,
yeah,
back with a bang.
Yeah, your good pal Paul Kelly. Talk to me about that. Back with a bang. You know, bare knuckle. Obviously, a guy who's one of the pioneers of the Liverpool scene.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think I have to say much more. We all know where he's been, don't we? You know, for those that don't know where he's been, I'll just basically say he's been in jail for the past, I think, 10 years, is it? And you know, he's out and he wants to have a few fights and see if he's still got it and see what sort of level he can get up to. You know, everyone knows he reached a fair level in the UFC. And so last night was his first comeback fight. He fought a tough kid, actually. And he stopped him in the second round, if I'm correct.
Good stuff.
So I'm still on a high from that, still a bit amped up. So going into the week with a positive little win there for all the guys at Carbon, which is good, mate, isn't it?
Good stuff, yeah, definitely. We got to start it off, obviously, and ask you the big fight last night in Las Vegas, UFC 248. What did you make of the fight, Darren, between Israel Adesanya and Yoel Romero? You know, it's got a lot of criticism online. It's got a lot of criticism from Dana White. What was your take on the fight?
I just think it was stale, mate. Like, I don't think anyone expected. You know, people can probably say that my last fight was quite stale, which it was, but I didn't big her up or not. You know what I mean? I went in there, got the win, technically, and then went home. You know what I mean? All happy at me new division middleweight, but that fight was bigged up. You know, obviously because everyone about how scared of y'all is, and you know, for the past few months, I've been making jokes about, you know, how I'm scared of y'all because he's an animal, and you know, Izzy's been in these technical wars and that, you know, like with Gaslam, and then it was just like, as I said, mate. Yo looked dead heavy, didn't look as explosive, and Izzy was sort of running away a bit and stuff like that. But, you know, you can always give them a due for one fight, and, you know, you can give them a bypass. So that's it, really, mate. There's not really a lot to comment because there was not a lot happening. The fight before, the Joanna and I think it's Whaley Zhang, is
yeah,
it, mate?
That's the one, man.
What a fight.
It was unreal.
Oh my God, mate! I have never seen a fight like that in my life.
Where do you rank that? Just out of interest, that's, you know, is it the greatest fight that we've ever seen?
Fucking unbelievable, mate! Unbelievable.
It was.
I don't even know what to say. Unbelievable.
It was. I was left speechless after it. It was a bit sour to come in and have a main event like that. After such a spectacle we saw, you know, it's right up there for me as one of the greatest fights of all time.
Oh my God, it's great. Like, them two girls, give them $5 million each.
Definitely.
And sarah, mate, because they deserve it. And I actually, mate, you know what, I thought Joanna just about grabbed that. Yeah, I really did.
Conor McGregor tweeted the same thing last night as well. He thought that she took it. But it was such a close fight. I don't think there was a loser in that fight.
No, it's one of them things where whoever wins just wins, and there's okay, no hard feelings there. Obviously, hard feelings in the way of Joanna because she could be the champion, but she sort of is a champion after a fight like that.
Definitely.
Mate, you know, there's no other thing to do now apart from rebook the rematch. Mate, what a fight, man!
It was unbelievable. One for the ages. I think it's a Hall of Fame. You know, definitely in a couple of years.
Yeah,
maybe
5 years
time,
it's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. There's no questions asked.
Definitely. All right, let's, you know, as much as excited I was about that as well, Darren, what do you think? Obviously...
Oh, mate, I'm just staying in the middle now at my big belly. I need to get to the gym in the morning. Fucking hell.
You're a gas man, Darren. Darren, what do you think of Paulo Costa? Will he match up better against Israel Adesanya? How do you feel that fight's going to play out?
I do think, as much as, you know, everyone says, me fight Izzy next, I do think Paulo has a... I think he is like the rightful guy next to fight for, you know, the title. He's definitely ain't it. Obviously, I know he's out. Is he out with surgery or something? Is he?
Yeah, he is at the moment. He's recovering from surgery. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the story there, but yeah, I think maybe he's gonna get the next shot. And he comes with a lot of aggression and power. He's a big dude. He's not as I don't think he's as quick as Izzy, but he's got he brings a lot of power. So. I think it will be a good matchup. You know what, mate? I wouldn't like to pick on that fight either. I think that's a tough fight for both guys. Technical, base aggression and strength. And, you know, that could go either way. That's an interesting fight. Especially that it's my division I'm in as well. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Keep a close eye.
I know you've said, and I know you've said it sort of half-jokingly about Yoel Romero. You know, being scared and afraid of him. But are you scared and afraid of him after watching that performance last night?
Of course, mate. He's a beast. I'm terrified.
I don't believe you.
Do you not believe me?
No, I don't believe
you. Are you starting to get onto like the... There's like 50% of people still commenting saying, I know why it's so scared and all that. They still believe it, so, you know, I don't know.
I think you're playing some mind games, and I think it's I think it's been the
Listen,
same.
Listen, I'm comfortable with my own mentality and my own, you know... Listen, at the end of the day, mate, if you want to fucking come and fight with me, whoever you are on this earth, come and fucking fight. I don't give a fucking shit who you are, but... So that's why I don't really give a fuck to give, like, this mean ego off or this... Yeah. You know, there's a time and a place. You know, there's always guys I've had words with back and forth, and whenever I've seen them, they haven't said anything, because I think they know that if you want to do something in front of me, mate, they can. You know, I seen Khabib talking to Tony, like, how many fights have you had on the street? Like, I'll eat you in that. Like, that's some fucking, that's some scouser mentality shit, mate. I'll fucking eat your face off alive. You know what I mean? Like, that's my kind of mentality. So I'm very comfortable with myself to, like, say, yeah, I'm afraid of this guy or I'm afraid of him. And
have you taken a different, you know, maybe, have you taken a different approach and mindset, as you're saying there, from what you did in, you know, your welterweight run? Because, you know, a lot of the time we saw you were very aggressive and in the guy's faces. Now it seems to be more passe, more chill, Darren Till, as you say.
I've still got the same mentality and I'm building it back up in a different way to get even more stronger and powerful. But like, yeah, there's been a few changes, a few tweaks, and hopefully for the better, hopefully for the wiser, hopefully for the stronger, you know, growing more mature. You know, I'm only 27 as well, mate. Yeah. I've still got another, you know, I've still got eight years left in this game. So, you know, it's scary to think what I could achieve if I put my full capacity to it. So, yeah, there's been a few tweaks, mate, and I'm growing and I'm learning and, you know, new weight class. And, you know, if I get the belt this year, mate, I would love to go back down to welterweight and challenge for whoever's the champion there and, you know, set out to do in welterweight.
Could you still, you know, make
maybe
the weight,
one
Darren?
Last hurrah to make that dreaded weight.
Could you still make the weight cut, do you believe?
It's the only thing that I'd have to change there was it'd have to be a lot of months with the right, correct 100% in every area to make the weight for a one-time fight. And then that's it. I call it, you know, a day. Because I put my body through so... Oh, the baby's calling me daddy. I put my body through so much stress, you know, just for it. And I couldn't do it anymore. Only one more
fair
time,
enough.
Probably.
Fair enough. That's totally fair. Darren, I got to ask you, Israel Adesanya mentioned in Embedded this week, he sort of implied... you know, that he keeps his enemies closer and he knows what you want and that's his title. He also called you a pussy as well. How would you react to his response?
Did he? Yeah. Mate, who the fuck's he talking to, lad? What are you messing with? Nah, mate, it's all good. Of course he's keeping me close. We speak every day. Me and him, we message every day. So it's all good, mate, people.
There's an underbelly there, though, Darren, isn't there? It's a tone. I think it's more of a sarcastic tone to maybe get underneath Israel's nerves. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and also, you know, Israel knows I'm not scared of y'all. He's just doing that for the... You know, he knows what he's doing. You know, so do I. You know, look at the way I've marketed this whole thing now with the y'all thing and everything, you know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, it's been great.
Fucking genius, like, you know what I mean?
So right, I got to ask you then, right, you know, Dana White mentioned last night, and, you know, I know you're keen on fighting in the US. I'll ask you that probably first. Any updates on the visa issue for you to get back into the US to be able to fight?
Yeah, well, I've got a meeting in 2 weeks about it, and then I'll have a final decision then. It's 100% I'm going to get one in the 2 weeks' time. So I've just got to wait now, play the waiting game and that. And I've also got to thank the UFC and all the legal staff there for the help they gave me, mate. You know, I'm probably being a pain in the ass to them. They've got, like, Washington lawyers and everything on it. But, so, you know, as much as there's a lot of things that fighters and that cry about with the UFC, like, oh, pay this, pay that. And, you know, I'm one of them guys, like, you know, yeah, a little bit of extra pay, it'd be nice and that. You need to remember a lot of the things the UFC does for us as well, you know what I mean? Yeah. So... You know, it's good and bad sometimes, isn't it?
Definitely, 100%. Dana, as I said, also mentioned, we talked about this a little bit off air before we came on. He implied that your next fight's probably going to be in Dublin here in Ireland. What are your thoughts on that? Has been any contact with Dana?
I'll tell him when my next fight is, and that's all there is to say about that, all right, mate?
Fair enough. But has there been any
messing? No, if he says it's Dublin, mate, it is. But I'd love to, like, come to him and say, can I maybe squeeze one in before Dublin, you know, because I am in, like, sort of fight shape now and, like, ready to go in the next few weeks, maybe a month or two. So, but it just depends, mate, how it all fares up. I'm looking at that. I was looking at Brunson and Edmund. They got rescheduled. I was looking forward to that fight, but, you know, whatever happened with them. But we'll see. But, mate, I fought in Dublin in 2015.
I was there, Darren.
24th of October 2015. And, oh my God, mate, I had the fight of the night with Dalby. it was entered into the top 10 fights of that year. And mate, what a crowd, what a city, what a place.
Well, Doc, you know, I was going to mention that to you, that fight against Dalby. Like, that was a special, special fight. Yeah. You know, it was an incredible fight, obviously a draw. But, you know, Dublin is a place that's sort of close to your heart. There's a great relationship with Dubliners and Liverpool and Ireland and Liverpool. Would that be a bucket list moment to headline a card here in Ireland for you?
Well, yeah, because back then I was, you know, fairly unknown. Now, with the following I've got, and, you know, every time I go to Ireland, mate, it's like I'm the most popular person wherever ever else I've been. It's like, I couldn't even imagine what, like, happens with McGregor and that while he's there, but they're probably used to seeing him now, the way people in Liverpool used to seeing me. Mate, that'd be like another highlight for me, another highlight. And you know, so if Dana's saying that, then let's fucking do it, mate.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. I think you've, you know, as I said, anytime I see you here, there's people, you know, all over you. So it'd be a no-brainer for me to have you.
Yeah, and the after party be me more.
Definitely, definitely. Sure. Yeah. That's the one thing you haven't done, Darren. We've never had a beer when you've been here. We've never had a pint of Guinness together, man.
I'm actually teetotal this year though, so my next beer that'll touch my mouth will be the 15th of December. I made myself a little promise. I was like, Where this year 2020, I'm not gonna drink, I'm gonna like focus even more than I usually do. And you know, I do like a beer every now and then, but I'm going to cut it out for a year, so...
Have you not had a drop this year at all?
I didn't have a drop over Christmas, not for my birthday, not while I was in Brazil. The last drop of beer I had was, like, the 11th of December in 2019. So, till, like, the 11th, 15th of this year, mate, I won't have a drop of beer.
And was it becoming a problem, or is it just you want to cut it out?
No, never a problem, but, you know, I like a beer, and it's like, you know, sometimes you go out, you're a little bit unfocused, and if you haven't got a fight booked, it's so easy for your mates to say, let's go out just for one, and then one turns into 150. Next minute, you're naked in McDonald's buying cheeseburgers. You know what I mean, mate? It's just it's not a good combo.
I'm Irish, mate. I well know what the Guinness does.
Mate, you're on the level, but so it's just an old little thing for me, like focus even more than I usually did in the past, and put everything I've already do even more into getting this belt and setting out what I set out to do. So, you know, 1 year, no beer. It's not going to harm anyone, is it, mate?
Fair play to you. I respect that and admire that. Darren, I have to ask you, in terms of the division itself, obviously it was, you know, you would aim to fight Jared Cannonier on Saturday night's card there. That was the plan, but it's gone a little bit out the window with his pectoral injury. How do you see the dynamic of the division now in terms of you going forward and who you're going to fight next?
It could be Jared in Dublin, mate. If that's what Dana's saying, it could well be Jared still. I still think he's up there.
Is that the fight you want?
Yeah. If he's the beast, and if y'all's the beast, and all these guys the beast, then I want them. Because I'm a fucking beast. So that's it, mate. The division's looking very exciting.
It is.
So, you know, if it's Jared, it's Jared, mate. But if it's anyone, apart from Yoel.
Will you stop that now? It's getting old, Darren. do you look at this, right? Just a couple more, and I do appreciate the time.
Yeah.
In terms of the division and looking at the year, I know you're a guy, you like to visualise things. What is the path you see for this year, but, you know, towards the end of the year?
By the end of the year, it would be a beater after title. That would put the cherry on top. And then coming into 2021, maybe looking at a move back down to welterweight and trying to solidify that last belt. And then, you know, going from there. Both divisions, mate, are tough, tough divisions. Yeah. They really are. Usman's a killer down at welterweight, and you know, that's it, mate. That's sort of the visualization plan. But as I say, mate, anything can happen. Anything can happen. It's like, you know, one wrong move and it's out the window. So you just got to be careful. But you got to, as you say, mate, you got to put everything into it. You got to put everything into it.
Yeah,
no restrictions.
You seem totally. You know, obviously you've learned a lot from that fight against Tyron Woodley, and we've talked about that before, but you seem totally focused on righting those wrongs of that championship fight that you lost, obviously, against Tyron Woodley. Is that the feeling?
Yeah, that was, as I say, mate, that mentality sort of, I'm the best, fuck you, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, Woodley beat me, and then obviously, you know, there was the worst loss to Masvidal, and it sort of like made me tweak, as I said to you before, made me tweak a few things. But yeah. I appreciate that beating that Woodley gave me. You know, one day maybe we'll run it back, but I don't know what will happen, but... You know, thank you very much if you're listening, Taran. Stop posting pictures on Instagram of elbowing me in the face. I don't appreciate it.
Oh, bit of beef there still, is there?
Yeah, a little bit of beef. But I can't get so mad at him because I do like his mother. I think his mother's a really nice person.
That's fair. That is fair. Taran, listen, I'd love to see a headline here in Dublin. I hope everything goes your way in terms of the visa, and that are you still sliding up in Donald Trump's DMs?
I can send you the screenshot of all the messages, mate. You'll die, honestly, you'll die. I sent a son a message. I was like, yo, mate, get your dad to message me back.
Brilliant.
So I'll send you that screenshot, I promise. Not enough with that.
Brilliant stuff. Taran, listen, I always appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to seeing you get back in there. Thanks again for stopping by on the show.
Sure, mate, thank you. Have a good Sunday, mate.
And what a pleasure it was to have Mr. Till back in the building.
Back on the show, Taran now. Come on, Taran. Just text back next time. Don't make it a process.
You know, you could be a host if you wanted to, Taran. Like, you know, at this stage, Europe's biggest podcast. Why not, you know? I don't see why not.
Get him on, yeah. Should we come on as a special co-host or something in London with you?
Like, I mean, he probably demand a lesser paycheck than Noel McGrath. Fell as low.
See my bank account, mate.
Look, it's all this, the money he spends on Guinness. We need a Guinness sponsorship for Noel McGrath also. A few different things we're working on.
Sure looks like Paul Felder's a donut sponsorship after last week.
Oh,
that?
Yeah. Thank you to John Metz for that. Thank you, sir. Yes, lovely stuff. Let's get on to what happened last weekend at UFC 248. We'll begin. We'll get on to Cage Warriors later, but holy shit. One of the greatest fights ever, followed by one of the lamest fights ever, will we say? Erp. No, I was just trying to say something that matches. But, I mean, a lot of complaints on that main event. Maybe we should talk about that first. Adesanya v. Romero. It was very tough to watch after the war that had preceded it. I find that didn't give it...
I don't think it was tough to watch. I think that's unfair.
No, I thought it was quite tense.
I was like intrigued because we know how explosive Yoel can be, and I think that was one of the sort of facets we were talking about coming in, you know, that Yoel would explode like Chris Weidman.
Yeah.
And listen, I think Izzy's not getting enough stick here as well. You know, if you're going to criticise both of them, have a criticise of Israel as well. Israel was sprinting literally off the back foot on a number of occasions. So he was finding very hard to close the distance.
But you're allowed to do that in fighting. Like,
and that's my point.
Like, I mean, the thing is, for both, I understand why Adesanya fought the way he did. And I understand less the way Romero fought, to be honest. That's what I saw.
Okay, right. What could Romero do then better to try and get at him?
Actually throw punches, I guess.
But he couldn't close the distance.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, that's up to him to close the distance. If he's getting landed on by Adesanya, which I felt he was, I get it, right? After watching the first round, because he lands a big left in the first round and he wins that round for me, then you're kind of going, well, maybe that's what he's going to try and do in every round. But when it doesn't happen in round 2, 3, 4, you're going, all right, you're going to have to go hell for leather here in the fifth. And I just didn't think he really did. Like, the problem I see with it mostly for Romero is the fact that Dana White's come out and said he's never fighting for a title again, basically. He wasn't that pointed with the criticism, I guess. Like, I mean, it did feel like he was definitely on more Izzy's side than Romero's, but the fact that he's put Romero in this title shot, the whole thing has been built on how scary he is. All the video and the build-up, all the things that went viral were just him being excruciatingly intimidating to media members. That ESPN interviewer, he's like, go. And then the Oscar Willis one, did you see that, where he asked him what's the biggest mistake he ever made in his life, and it got very intense very quickly.
You don't want to know.
You and Doc.
It was, but like, I mean, do you think that's probably the way, probably is the last time we're going to see Romero fight for a middleweight
probably
title?
Probably, you know, Dana, when he comes out and says these things, and especially in situations like that, when it's playing directly into his bank account and his pocket. He's, you know, he normally does stick to his guns. That's the one thing he does stick to his guns on. And I think, you know, Yoel's at the age now where, yeah, like that could very well be his last shot at the big time. And I would not be surprised if we see him, you know, maybe run out his contract and then head over to Bellator Fighting Championships.
Who knows? Who knows? It's thing about Adesanya is I found like, I get what you're saying, like both of them deserves criticism for the result of what it was, yeah, the spectacle there, but the amount of people that have jumping off the Israel Adesanya bandwagon because of that fight is unbelievable. Like, I mean, we're forgetting like Anderson Silva's fights. I mean, one of the greatest fighters of all time, like a fighter that had a profound effect on me when he was on his ascent.
Wonderboy, you know, Wonderboy and Woodley part two.
You know, like Till v. Wonderboy.
Yeah. Till v. Gastelum.
You know, like it's so quickly that these people flip-flop on these guys. I just think it's crazy.
It's mad, our sport.
When you see what Romero has done to guys with one shot before, and then you're going, why didn't Adesanya go in and fucking just stand in the pocket and exchange with him? It's like...
That's the reason why.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's clever.
I can understand the way... maybe I'm being a little bit more lenient on both guys. I can understand the way that fight played out.
And we even said it last week. We were like, yeah, he's not gonna try much takedowns. Yeah. I think he tried a takedown in round three. It didn't work, and then we're back to a stalemate. But I do feel...
I just don't understand that, to be honest with Yoel as well. Maybe that's one thing, you know, why does he never use his fucking wrestling? Like,
maybe it just saps too much power. Like, his body is incredible, like, I mean, and the argument we always hear is when you have that much muscle on your body, when you do exert yourself, it takes a lot longer.
Sure, I know, like, look at
well,
me.
Well, look, yeah, I was going to ask.
Specimen. Like,
is it true?
Yeah, of course it does, PT. It's like...
Don't be ridiculous, mate.
yeah, but listen, at the end of the day, it is what it is. We're going to get fights like that, and we can't be too greedy the whole time. I saw some people moan about like the pay-per-view. I paid money for this. You paid money for the best women's fight in mixed martial arts history.
One of the best fights ever.
Ever. Yeah. So, like, just get over it. Like, shit happens. It's the fight game. It's not fucking tiddlywinks.
What was your state when you were watching Wiley and Joanna? I was in a hotel room by myself, trying not to wake up.
That sounds
well,
dark.
Sorry, Elaine was asleep in dark. Bed, and I was trying not to wake her up because I was watching the fight, and I kept on going like, holy fuck, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, shut the fuck up.
I was actually remarkably calm. I've managed to sort of do that over the last year, a couple of years.
That one, for me, is an exception to the rule.
I was literally here in the office and fucking watching it on the box there, and I was trying to go, Jesus, let's try and score this.
I wasn't doing fight. That at all. I had lost my mind.
I sort of lost... But I think I'd actually probably score it the same way if I look back on it again. I haven't watched it back yet again.
I need to watch it back, yeah.
I do. And I think I had it, Wiley the first two, Joanna the second, the third and the fourth, and I just shaded the fifth to Wiley. But like, it could have gone either way. It was one of those fights. But listen, just one for the ages, man. And, you know, just very special. And I don't think MMA often gets the credit it does. It was obviously Women's International Day on Sunday. MMA has always been excellent for women and female athletes. They've always promoted them on the same level as the men. So, you know,
just on that note, did you see Leah McCourt featured in the BBC image they did for her? That was class.
Yeah, that was very good. Leah gets a lot of media and mainstream media coverage up north, and it's great to see that.
And she was right at the top of the table as well. Like, I thought that was deadly. Yeah. It was great to see that. Benita Dariush, unbelievable.
Savage.
Finish a Dracar closer. Unbelievable. Absolutely,
it was wild.
Fantastic. I thought Neil Magny was fantastic against Leech as well, man.
Yeah, he was.
Really good. Cowboy back in the win column against Max Griffin was a very good fight.
It was.
But what about the Sugar Man? Ireland's own. Fantastic return to action. I said to you last week, if this isn't spectacular, it's going to feel like nearly a backward step for this guy, because USADA have railroaded him for 2 years. And Jesus Christ, man, that was a stunning finish.
Listen, he couldn't have done any more. He couldn't have gone any more to plan in terms of what you do and get in the cage. And
he
anyone deserves
it, he does after this shit.
100%. And you could see what it meant to him. He was exceptionally emotional. He goes, this meant so much to me, you know, in the post-fight Octagon interview with Joe Rogan. And yeah, I'm delighted for him, because he's one of these guys that, you know, his career's been on hold. And we need, as we said last week, we need guys like this to... you know, promote the future of the sport and keep the sport in the mainstream and make that transition. It's very, very important. So I'm really interested to see now what they do with Sean, Because that's a decent, a tough dude. Like, not many people knocked the shit out of Quiñones like that.
No.
And he did.
That kick that he landed was unbelievable,
it was,
man.
It was sweet, dude. And I think it was the uppercut. Was the uppercut coming in or left hook or whatever it was on the deck when he was on his knees? Really smooth from Sean O'Malley. And yeah, really happy I am with that. And I think we need him now to, you know, knock up the ladder and maybe, fuck it, put him on co-main in Dublin. Like, people would love that.
Nathaniel
shit,
Wood,
you know,
versus Sean O'Malley.
There you go. Do it for Dublin, motherfuckers.
Marco Madsen's takedowns are a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
I know the man broke his jaw in the second round of that fight, but it's rare to see someone get that many takedowns in the open mat space. Yeah. You know, usually in MMA, you see a lot of push him against the fence, take them down. He's unbelievable.
Can I just say one thing about those two prelims and some of the prelims we saw? Absolutely disgusted with the crowd. There was no one in the arena. Like, Sean O'Malley, why aren't you going to watch Sean O'Malley and Marco Madsen?
And like, Rodolfo Vieira. Like, I mean, Jesus
Christ.
The
arena was empty. I couldn't believe watching. I was like, what the fuck are people at, man? Oh, like, seriously, guys. Fucking hell. Get a grip.
Yeah, it's crazy. Rodolfo Vieira as well. Beautiful, beautiful win. Over Saparek Safarov, again, arm triangle choke. He just looks in a different league when he's on the
ground. Marco Madsen as well. Did you see the amount of Danish in the arena? There was actually a fucking...
He's a national icon
he's
there.
He's bringing over a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
He really is. It was great to see. But yeah, sorry, interrupting you there all over the place, left and right.
No, that's pretty much all of it from the European point of view anyway. Obviously, Darren Wynn drops another fight there to Jared Mearshart. That's 2 in a bounce after Darren Stewart has got that split decision win over. I thought it was a pretty clear win for Darren Stewart that time.
Yeah.
Didn't know why it was a split decision, but really great card. You know, and look, go easy on these guys, man. I mean, what would you do if you fought Yoel Romero? Jesus Christ, you'd be out of that fucking arena as soon as the fucking music came
pass
off.
Pass out and probably defecate in my shorts.
Wake up in a pool of your own shit.
Yeah.
He's terrifying. He's still terrifying. I still really like the guy, but it's hard to argue with why when Dana's looking at it and looking at what, like looking at Zhang and Jan Jacek and then that.
Yeah, the co-main did it no favours at
all. Oh my God. It was a blood orgy.
Imagine the two of them warming up in the back looking at this going, fuck, we have to, you know, try and replicate that.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Nah, listen, we can't have it the way we want it all the time. Shit happens. It's the fight game.
Do you think, I think Costa and Adesanya, as Till was saying earlier on, I think that's going to be a far better fight. I think
I don't think there's no way the way Costa fights that he can do anything differently if he wants to win the title. He has to go out and do what he does.
Oh, stand in the pocket and trade.
Stand in the pocket and trade and get in Izzy's face. That's the only way he wins the title or beats Izzy. So, yes, it's going to be a far more intriguing battle.
Mm, you'd assume. Cage Warriors 112 was absolutely amazing. It was fantastic. I got to see more of this live because I was cheekily watching in the bathroom of the wedding. But Jack Cartwright scares the shit out of me, and I want to grow a rat's tail now. What do you think?
I love the rat's tail idea.
I could do it? Like, do you think I could pull it off? I'm from Blanchardstown. Like, I mean, it was a common.
You don't have a tradition of growing your hair long, though, ever, do you?
Well, I mean, it's not really a lot of my hair I have to grow long.
I could definitely do it. My hair grows like fucking.
You were always going to do the mullet, but you pussied out of it.
I've done the mullet loads of times. What are you saying?
I've done a proper mullet loads of times. Like you're an extra in a Leonard Skinner video.
There,
but you never let it grow into its full beauty at the back.
Of course it did.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, you haven't seen it.
If you do it, I want you to do it right.
Yeah, it's not fun to do.
And maybe get a mustache as well.
I need a woman at this stage.
And then a wife beater.
Just to calm me down, stop me going to the pub.
Yeah, maybe. But Jack Cartwright, absolutely one-sided win over Manuel Bilic. We saw some of that wrestling, which was great to see, but his fucking right hand, man. I just can't.
It just looks, though, he's just trying to lump the head off you and then he just take down if he wants.
But when he hits, lads, like, I mean, Bilic was, from nearly every round, he looked like he was like, you know, Jesus Christ, every time he got hit with that big loop.
I don't really know how he got even around in that fight. I find it hard to understand how some of the judges gave him a couple of rounds in that fight.
Did they?
Yeah, like it wasn't, like there was only 150-45 in the card. Like, so yeah, it was a bit bizarre, but I thought he won.
I had a few on me watching it, so I don't want to commit to anything much, but I thought it was, absolutely one-sided.
Yeah, big time.
And great to see the crowd out for Manchester for that, like the first one, because I know that they were always like, do we have the draws here? I think Jack has proven that they do. Adam Proctor, for me, is the shoe-in to fight Rhys McKee in Belfast. looked amazing against Flaminis. So dominant and in every facet of the game. Like, I mean, striking, he was backing up completely. And then on the ground, he was establishing mount nearly every time he hit the deck. Just, it's a guy we always knew that was going to be right at the top of the bracket at welterweight. And I don't see a better fight than Rhys McKeon and Proctor.
Well, that's the one that's, I mean, you know, I think it was pretty much, that was like the semi-final to get on that to
but
face
Rhys. But interesting,
Rhys.
Proctor didn't say much about it afterwards when he was asked about it, you know?
Interesting.
I don't get it.
Unless Cage Warriors, you know, we had a little chat about that beforehand, unless they want to have separate directions for both guys. They've done it in the past.
Both two young, great prospects. But, I mean, if you're going to put on the best fight for me right now, 100%, that would be it.
100%. And, like, if you know, as you said, if Rhys goes out, from an Irish point of view, if Rhys goes out there and takes Proctor's head off and touches him with that death, that's a UFC contract from me straight away.
Absolutely. Where do you go after it? Like,
Especially after seeing Proctor at the weekend, how good he was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That was the performance we've been waiting for, really, I think, in Cage Warriors. Absolutely stunning. George Smith had a great armbar win over Lucas Marcinkowski. And what about James Webb? Unbelievable.
Back in the win column, yeah.
Like, I mean, Jesus, that's a tough fight. Mick Stanton was absolutely brilliant in 2019. I think he was 3-0. He just moved up to middleweight. Looked very well-rounded. You know, the whole thing about Stanton was, like, here's this boxer who's learned how to wrestle so well. Webb completely dominated him on the ground.
Yeah, big time.
Like, his takedowns were fantastic. Multiple takedowns in every round.
Rear naked choke. Was that the last round?
Yeah, he just kind of off the side of it. But, like, this is the thing. Webb, from the Notorious Frederick fights, I guess his activity on top was the thing that was called into question. Look at the work he's doing now.
Yeah, big time.
I mean, yeah, look, he came away with a draw that time instead of a win.
And I think Chris came out and said he had a very challenging camp.
Yeah, you know, he only could train for 3 weeks. It's unbelievable. And he looked in great shape to me. He actually looked really lean to me when he was in there and stuff. So great stuff to see James back there. Like, definitely the front runner at KFGM, without a doubt. Not that we thought otherwise, but Jesus Christ. He's been the guy that's really blazing a trail for them in terms of MMA from the get-go. And, of course, Ian Garry and everyone else behind him. But, really, really good card. Another loss for Scott Malone, unfortunately. What about Paul Hughes?
Unbelievable. Stunning again. And I think, you know,
he never, like, I don't think he threw a head kick in that fight until that one. And then, good luck.
Just so cool.
And the way he stood over him.
I love the arrogance, the brashness as well.
I love it.
You go, this kid is star power. And I think he does. You know, I was texting Joe McColgan yesterday. He was in his corner, obviously, and Joe was just telling me he was speechless. He didn't even know what to say after it because it was everything they wanted to do translated into the fight and even more. It's just really good to see. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do next with him.
He's given Mads Burnell and Morgan Charrier abuse in his post fight. Unbelievable. Like, the guy.
He's confidence for days.
Oh my God. It's great. He's 22.
It's crazy. Like,
and what about Kaposa sharing it out, calling him Irish Uber prospect? I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
I think we've known that for a while, but it's obviously Paul's been very unfortunate with his hands.
And stuff,
multiple breaks, guys not wanting to fight him, fight cards. Last minute sort of getting thrown off, and it's been frustrating, but it's good to see him back in there now. He's had two fights behind his belt in short succession. He'll be on the Belfast card, I'm sure, for May. So that's three fights within short succession, and that's what he needs. He needs momentum to start building up and get these bigger names, definitely.
And if you're going to put Paul Hughes on the card, why not put James Sheehan on it as well? Fantastic, definitely, clean work from Team Rhino's James Sheehan. Great to see him back in there.
Brilliant.
Took a beautiful rear naked choke. Real, like, you know, real clean, clinical performance there. I'm sure Andy was very, very happy with that. Beautiful, beautiful performance, I thought.
An absolute stud, yeah.
I guess that's all from what happened there. So hopefully we'll have Cartwright on the Belfast card. He says he wants to defend there. We'll have Proctor v. Rhys McKee.
Oh.
And we'll have all these Irish prospects.
Hughesy, McColgan. Everyone.
Is Bellator London going down the same day as that Cage Warriors? I think it is.
Bellator London.
On the same day as the Belfast card.
Possibly is.
I think it is.
That would be very, very interesting because I know where I'd be going.
Yeah, I wonder where I'm going to get sent. Like, I mean, it's up to the US office where I'll go that day.
Well, I think in terms of if, you know, you're an Irish fan and you're an MMA fan in Europe, all great respect to Bellator, but there's a lot seems to be riding on the line with that Cage Warriors card.
Well, definitely in Ireland. There's no doubt about it. A lot of interest, but it's just in terms of international, when you've got names like James Gallagher, MVP, these guys.
Forgot
on the card,
about
it's
going to
be tough. So, Yeah, interesting to see how that one goes. Right, let's get on with our second interview of the day. As we said, it's a blockbuster episode, so we brought back one of the favourites, Piotr Jan, who's going to be fighting Marlon Moraes in the main event of UFC Kazakhstan, as he confirms on the call. Piotr seems very focused here, and obviously didn't have a lot of nice things to say about Henry Cejudo, or Cejudo, as Noah likes to call him. But yeah, we'll have a listen with Peter, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes. Talk to you then. And once again, your favorite guest is back on Eurobash. It is none other than the Siberian gangster himself, Piotr Jan, who has some big news, it seems, based on his social media profiles. Piotr, it's been a long time since we have talked to you. How are you, my friend?
There you are. Very good, brother. Very good.
Now, I must ask, you have just put out a post saying that you have signed for your first UFC main event. As far as we knew, you had agreed fights with Aljo Moraes and Cody Sandhagen. There was a report last week on MMA Junkie saying you would fight Moraes in the main event of UFC Kazakhstan on June 13th. Is this the fight that you have signed for today?
Как мы видели у тебя в соцсетях, то, что ты подписал контракт на свой первый поединок, главный бой вечера. И на прошлой неделе были сообщения, что ты будешь драться именно с Морайсом в Казахстане. Насколько это правда и какой поединок ты получил?
Да, мы получили поединок с Морайсом. Это работа моих менеджеров, работа UFC. Я очень рад, что у меня такой бой с первым номером рейтинга нашего дивизиона, и победа над ним, я думаю, будет таким большим вызовом для боя за титул.
Yes, thanks to my management team and to UFC, we got the fight with Moraes. It's a big fight. He's the number one in the rankings, and it's a main event. It's going to be a good challenge for me before a fight for the title.
Yes, I want to speak about the title later on, but just wanted to keep it on UFC Kazakhstan for a second. I know this is very close to Russia. What does it mean to Piotr to be main eventing there? And does he believe it will attract a lot of fans from his native Russia to come and see him fight there?
Kazakhstan находится по соседству с Россией. Что вообще для тебя значит быть в главном поединке именно в Казахстане? И приедет ли много болельщиков, ты думаешь, из России поболеть?
Да, конечно, возглавлять турнир, где бы он ни был, в Казахстане, это в России, еще где-то, это очень круто. Я думаю, что на мне также большая ответственность. Вот. Ну и я думаю, что, конечно, огромное количество людей с России приедет за меня поболеть, и не только за меня. В принципе, Казахстан не так далеко от России, и там не нужна виза.
Yeah, I think it's great to headline the event. Doesn't matter where it's going to be, in Kazakhstan, Russia, or anywhere else. But it's also a big responsibility. And I believe a lot of fans will travel from Russia to Kazakhstan because it's close and you don't need a visa to go there.
Amazing, amazing. And, you know, there's one thing I've been thinking about with the Russian fighters in particular. I know that there has been some bans for Russian athletes in the Olympics and the World Cup, but I know how big MMA is there. And I was wondering, with athletes not being able to go to the Olympics or the World Cup, does that make the MMA fighters even more important for the Russian people as they go in and take on the world as Piotr is doing in the UFC? Do you feel without the football players and the other athletes, it makes the MMA athletes even more important to the Russian people?
Считаешь ли ты, что, учитывая сейчас ситуацию в спортивном мире, где вот именно с российскими спортсменами, где ситуацию с допингом, где они не могут поехать выступать, представлять страну, считаешь ли ты, что эти обстоятельства повлияли на то, что именно ММА-бойцы из России как бы стали более популярны, стали их выступления приобрели большую значимость теперь для россиян, для болельщиков, потому что они как бы продолжают поднимать флаг, в отличие как бы от других спортсменов, которые не могут это делать?
Конечно, я думаю, что это большой пример и для многих понимание, что любить свою страну нужно, как бы, если я там живу, значит, я люблю свою страну, я выступаю. Также, конечно, ездить и показывать это, что все возможно, можно достичь больших высот. Для подрастающего, для всех, я думаю, это большой пример и для спортсменов. что, в принципе, политического момента здесь нету, как бы такого большого здесь.
I think us athletes and other fighters fighting and competing and representing our country, raising the flag, it's a good example for young generation, and I take pride in representing my country on the world stage.
Right, right. Now, let's get it to the burning question here, because after Piotr beat Uriah Faber, I felt as though he was definitely going to be the next guy who fought for the title against Henry Cejudo. We now know that Henry Cejudo is going to take on Jose Aldo, who was coming off two losses in the main event of this Sao Paulo event in May. Did Piotr expect to be fighting for the title after he beat Faber? And was he surprised by the announcement that Cejudo would be facing Aldo instead of him?
После того, как ты победил Фейбера, ожидал ли ты, что ты именно подерешься за титул? И был ли ты удивлен после того, как бой отдали Алдо, который на серии из двух поражений?
Нет, я не скажу, чтобы я ожидал прям, что я подерусь за пояс, либо что я сильно расстроен, что дали Жозе Альдо бой за пояс. Как бы я принимаю эти правила игры, и, в принципе, своим возмущением я тоже как бы тут особо ничего не сделаю. Я думаю, что мне нужно трудиться и доказать делом, что я реально заслуживаю этого. Если надо, я говорил еще с первых своих боев, мы перебьем весь дивизион, чтобы получить бой за пояс.
Yeah, I can't say I was expecting a fight for the title, and I cannot say that I was upset Jose got his shot. And if I need to prove to the everyone and to the division that I deserve to fight for the title, I can do it with my actions. And like I said before, if I have to clean out the division to get this title shot, I will do it, no problem.
It feels to me that there is a growing animosity between him and Henry Cejudo. You know, ever since this announcement has gone out, there have been back and forth on social media. Does he believe that Cejudo is a bad champion for the division based on the fact that he is not fighting the number one contenders and instead fighting Aldo?
Он обратил внимание, то, что с Сихудо у вас постепенно такой нарастает небольшая неприязнь и конфликт. И считаешь ли ты, что Сихудо является плохим чемпионом для дивизиона, потому что он не хочет драться с главными претендентами, а дерется с Алдо?
Да Сихудо, он вообще, я вам скажу, ну, он очкошник, ё-моё. Ну, ты защитил, выиграл пояс 57, он хотел защищать его там, он там долго был... Держал как бы и один дивизион в потоком состоянии, не мог понять, где он будет защищать пояс, хотя надо было защищать 57, там промурыжил полгода, год там как бы, ну, сейчас здесь потом промурыжил, выбирал, с кем он будет драться там, короче, не знаю, понятно, что если исходить из рейтингов, то он, ну, Альдо не должен был драться, вот, но нет у меня к нему такой прям неприязни какой-то. Просто хочется побить его и забрать пояс.
If you look at Cejudo as a champion, you know he won the flyweight title and never defended his belt, and he was holding up the division. The division was in big question, and then after he won the bantamweight title, he also didn't defend his belt for a long time and kind of was hesitant about his next move and was holding up the division too, you know. And I can't say like. I dislike him, but I want to beat him up, and I think he doesn't have balls.
Okay, did Cejudo take it too far with his recent post where he began to criticize Piotr's English speaking and he called him a communist potato? Is that a bit too personal? Is that cutting it a bit too close to the skin for Piotr? Does that intensify his feelings towards Cejudo at all?
Считаешь ли ты, что Cejudo перешел черту своими последними заявлениями, и это стало немного личным, когда он тебя назвал там коммунистической картошкой и так далее. Считаешь ли ты это уже личным?
Не, ни в коем случае. Меня очень сложно вывести из себя, либо как-то, чтобы я перешел на что-то личное. У меня к нему интерес, спортивный, личный интерес. Я его, ну, как бы не воспринимаю там особо, ну, и нет у меня к нему какого-то личного, не знаю, там. Просто охота, чтобы он защищал пояс достойно.
you have to try harder to make it personal for me, you know. For me, it's mainly it's a sport interest. He got what I want. That's why I want to fight him, you know. And you know, you have to try harder.
То он мне говорит, типа, ты побил 40-летнего скейтбордиста, я теперь тоже хочу побить там лысого бразильца, который похож на Дана Уайта, там, ну, знаешь, вот такие вещи, как бы. Либо там я после простоя, и поэтому я и выбрал Альдо. Тем самым он говорит, что он не уверен в том, что он справится со мной.
Yeah, by him saying he wanna fight Aldo because he coming back from the injury, and I think it shows that he is not confident in himself, and he's just saying that I beat up the 41-year-old retired skateboarder, but it's the guy that he was calling out too, so I don't get him.
Yes, so if everything goes according to plan and he beats Moraes in June in the main event of UFC Kazakhstan, does he believe he will get the title shot then, or does he feel as though Cejudo is going to constantly try to avoid fighting him?
Если все пойдет по плану и ты победишь Морайса, главное бой вечера, считаешь ли ты, что ты получишь 100% гарантированный бой за пояс, или Cejudo будет по-прежнему искать пути, чтобы не драться с тобой?
Я очень хочу, если выиграю этот бой, получить следующий бой за пояс. Я думаю, что тут уже нереально будет ему искать себе какие-то бои, нежели подраться со мной. Я думаю, что я заслуживаю этого, там, 6-7 побед подряд. Нету таких, ни у кого такого, так скажем, этого, столько побед в нашем дивизионе.
If I beat Moraes, I think it will be very hard for Cejudo to deny my shot at the belt, because I will be on a 7-fight winning streak, and gonna be ranked number one. So I don't think he's gonna find his way out of the fight with me.
Does Piotr believe he will be a UFC champion before the end of the year 2020?
Веришь ли ты, что ты будешь чемпионом UFC до конца года?
Больше да, чем нет.
More yes than no.
Why does he feel like it might not happen this year?
Почему ты считаешь, что это может не произойти в этом году?
Не знаю, я всегда как бы стараюсь смотреть, ну, ситуацию, и когда есть реальное, да, да. Но если как бы нет конкретного, я, ну, конечно, я верю в свои силы, и я хочу этого, но я понимаю, что бывает всякое, и хочется, чтобы это состоялось.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I'm confident in myself and in my skills, but there's always some different situations can happen and that out of my control, so we'll see.
How does he see the fight with Moraes going? Because Moraes is quite a big dude, a very imposing fighter for the weight division. When I think about this fight on paper, I feel as though Piotr will be so relentless, it will be very hard for Moraes to live with him in the later rounds. Is that how he sees it? He feels as though he can make him wither over the first three rounds and potentially finish him in the championship rounds?
Как ты вообще представляешь, что пройдет бой с Мораесом? Он довольно большой и взрывной боец для дивизиона. И он видит этот бой как то, что ты будешь давить его первые три раунда и уже сможешь удострочить его в чемпионских раундах, в четвертом-пятом раунде. Как ты представляешь этот бой?
Я видел его вживую. Я не скажу, что он больше меня. Вот, я знаю, что как боец я разносторонний, сильнее, поэтому я верю в свою победу над ним. Я, как всегда, буду давить, буду бить ногами, руками, локтями, головой, бороться. Покажу зрелищный бой и покажу, что я реально заслуживаю боя за пояс.
I saw Moraes in person. I cannot say he's bigger than me or something else. I will do like I always do. I will put pressure on him. I will throw punches, elbows, knees, kicks, and I will take his head out.
Just a final question, and thank you so much, Piotr, and to you, Soyat. You're always a legend for these things, I must say. Does he feel as though Moraes is a tougher fight than Cejudo at the moment? If he could pick, without the title, without everything, he's just looking at an opponent. Does he think Moraes is a harder fight than Cejudo, or Cejudo a harder fight than Moraes?
Как ты считаешь, какой соперник сложнее, Мораес или Сихуда?
каждый по-своему сложный, опасный. В любом случае, это топовые бойцы, да. Каждый из них по-своему опасен, в принципе. Но я всегда готовлюсь к каждому бойцу как к последнему, поэтому...
Both of them are top fighters, and everyone, each one of them is dangerous in its own way. And for each fight, I prepare as it's my last fight, so I'm getting ready no matter what.
Thank you so much, Piotr and Soyat. It is a pleasure to speak to you guys again. I cannot wait for June 13th. It's going to be amazing. I hope I can get over there to see it because I've been dying to see Piotr compete in the octagon. And thank you guys so much again for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All the best. Well, thank you, Piotr. Bye-bye. Always a pleasure to speak to the Siberian gangster. Didn't threaten my life this time, and I appreciate that very much. I can sleep safely for the next week at least. But, yeah, looking forward to that fight with Moraes. I think it's going to be it's a huge star-making one for him as well when you think about the proximity, Kazakhstan to Russia.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to be like the hometown guy.
It'd
be
definitely.
You were talking to Till about Dublin earlier, that kind of thing. Yeah. I see it in a very similar way.
Amazing, yeah, definitely. And it's a fight for him. He wins it. It's a world title shot.
Absolutely. This Saturday night, though, at UFC Brasilia, we've got a few Europeans in action, but Kevin Lee and Charles Oliveira at the top of that card. Love and it. You can't wait for it, can't you?
Love it. Love watching both those guys. They're two of my favourite guys to watch in the UFC's lightweight division. You know, Charles always brings it. We know he's been around for years and he's fought everyone, the who's who of that lightweight division. And Kevin Lee has just been so impressive over the last few months, rejuvenating himself, obviously, with that win over Gregor Gillespie, which was absolutely my knockout of the year last year.
I'm going for Charles Oliveira on this one, Will.
Listen, I wouldn't bet against it. I never rule out Charles, but I just think Kevin's... I was so impressed with how he's changed that mindset the last time out. I mentioned that he's just become cool, calm, collective.
That Gillespie knockout was absolutely outrageous.
And he's taken away, I think, that aggression. Whatever he's done, he's re-challenged it into a more cool Kevin Lee. And a cool, calm, collected Kevin Lee is a bad motherfucker. And I just can't see Kevin not winning this fight, but I think it's going to be an absolute barnstormer.
We could have a bit of a changing of the guards in the co-main event in terms of who is the great grappler. Gilbert Burns, even one of the great grapplers in this sport, obviously against Damian Moya, a guy who's considered the greatest, especially coming off that Askren win. But I just feel as though when I look at this fight, Burns has a lot more to offer in the feet, I feel, than Moya. So I feel like when you have two grapplers deadlocked like that, it comes down to a different skill set, and I feel like he's got the strongest one.
Yeah, no, yeah, I can see that, but I think Gilbert, Damian Maia has really sort of improved over the last number of fights that we've seen him. You know, he's flashed the jab, his jab's got a lot more flusher. So I just think his experience could be the difference here. And I know both guys are, you know, vastly experienced, but no, I think it's one of those fights, it's a flip of a coin, really, it is, isn't it?
Absolutely. Moicano, you'd favour him against Hadzovic, but Hadzovic is a Serbian gangster himself. Sorry, not Serbian, he's a Serbian gangster. Jeez. Or is he Bosnian?
Bosnian, I think.
Sorry, yeah. He's an absolute savage, though, and he's been fighting, and he's been training a bit in Renegade and stuff, and the stories I'm hearing is he's an absolute animal in there. The guys love him. And this could be a huge fight for him. Moicano coming up from featherweight. But look, the way Moicano was looking at featherweight, it's hard to kind of look past him at times. I think he's an absolute animal. But that's a big fight for Europe there. But always risky enough going in a fight in Brazil on
definitely. Moicano is a savage, though. He's, you know, he's absolutely excellent. I've been, you know, super impressed. And obviously the Aldo and Chan Sung Jung fights haven't gone his way. But if we look at those fights against, you know, Calvin Kattar and Cub Swanson, it just hasn't sort of gone his way. And maybe, you know, maybe he's due something here, and I think we're going to get it.
Krylov against Walker. I feel like Krylov is a lot more technical than Walker. And after the Corey Anderson fight, where he just kind of used straight shots and didn't kind of, wasn't intimidated by the wild man approach from Walker, I feel like that's nearly given a lot of people a blueprint in some ways, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And I think, you know, Walker, he was just so messy, so all over the place in that fight against Corey Anderson. And I think, you know, Krylov's going to go in there and look for positions, and I think he's going to find positions that maybe Johnny isn't so technically good on and take advantage. I could see Krylov getting a submission or something like that here. I just have that feeling in this fight.
Russia's Alexei Kinchenko is a tough one on his hands here with Zaliski DeSantos, man. That's a tough one to get back in the win column against, man. I felt like Zelisky was on a wild streak for a while there. And then, that's a very tough assignment for Alexei Kinchenko, as far as I'm concerned. You have Marina Moros again against Bueno Silva.
Does she undefeated. Fight every week? Doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, I feel like she's always
really
popping
does.
Up with these
yeah,
cards.
Yeah, 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 okay.
We got Czech Republic's David Vorak, who takes on Bruno Silva on the preliminary card as well. And Bay Malecki looking to make it 2-0 when she takes on Veronica Macedo. Decent card. It might be an L next day at watch for me, to be honest with
yeah,
you.
No, I agree, especially after the last...
Put more Europeans on there if you want my interest.
Yeah, no, in fairness, the last couple of weeks have been pretty taxing on the old body and schlep. So yeah, I might agree with you there. But if it's on at a reasonable hour, I might sneak up and watch Kevin Lee and Oliveira, because I really do like that fight, I have to say.
I just don't think I'm going to have the time after staying up on Friday night to watch Pedro Carvalho beat Pitbull. My God. And Daniel Vichel v. Emmanuel Sanchez and Paul Daly v. Saba Hamasi. A lot of European interest here. As you said, Tokov as well there against Fabio Aguirre. It's
Nick Newell's fighting.
There's a lot of European interest on the card, is what I was trying to say. Like, I mean,
there is.
Oyan Pescu as well earlier in the night against Mark Leminger.
Tokov, the two of them.
The two Tokovs.
Yeah. So it's interesting, and obviously Pedro from our point of view, and trains here in Dublin with SBG, and
we're going to be hearing from Pedro later. Like, I mean, and look, on paper, I don't think you can look past Pitbull in this, but Carvalho has given a great account of himself, hasn't he? Like, he's making me believe every time I speak to him, every time I hear from him, he's not bullshitting in everything he's saying. Like, he absolutely believes everything he's saying. And that's dangerous. Sometimes you don't believe guys, and it's just kind of entertaining what they're saying. But I don't get that vibe.
Yeah, he's one of those sort of straight shooters. This is going to happen. This. It's even the way he uses his grammar and uses his words. It's just,
and he stops us when we're like, well, if it does, he's like, no, stop. No.
It is
happening.
Yeah, it's just like 100%. So, he's on it's 5-6-5 win streak. That Derek Campos fight Sam Cecilia looks super super impressive to get into this position against Pitbull for this world title, quarterfinal bout as well, and the larger scale of things in the Grand Prix. It's just exciting. It really is. And I think Portugal, Brazil as well. There's so many little facets.
Yeah, a lot of fans getting flamed in that section there with Patricio and Pedro.
And as you said, you've a piece coming out of him later on this week as well. He's going to be on the show. There seems to be a lot of fucking personal shit going on.
I feel like people's trying to get in his head talking this stuff about Portugal, because like, they're both getting it the same way. Pedro's getting it off the Brazilian fans. He's getting it off the Portuguese. That's what it's all about.
Of course.
Like, that's when you know they're invested. But Paul Daly as well in the card against Saba Hamasi. This fight, I feel like there's so many more interesting fights you can make with Daly.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping up and down to see that. I expect him to win it, of course. But I don't really get that one, to be quite honest. As we said,
I don't know if they've used Daly too well recently, Bellator.
Yeah, and I feel like they probably put a bad taste in his mouth by taking him off them commentary duty, because I thought he was quite good at that, to be honest,
So did I. I didn't mind him at all, being honest. So, listen, I don't know. Paul, sometimes maybe from his previous history, hasn't been the easiest guy to deal with in times, because we don't know what goes on.
He's meant to be on Eurobash a few times.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Was never on Eurobash. Yeah,
well, there you go. So that's what happens. So, listen, fuck it.
Yes. It's going to be an interesting one. I really can't wait for the main event, though, man. Who do you prefer? Like, I feel like we asked Pedro about it. You'll hear the interview now in a minute. I do agree with him that I like the Emmanuel Sanchez for him, fight for him a bit more in the semi-final than I do Vichel, just because of the two prospects going at it. Or even Patricio v. Emmanuel Sanchez. I prefer that a lot more. But what way do you see this going? Do you feel as though Pitbull can exchange with Pedro, or do you feel like it's going to be a more working man like performance? He has to take him to the ground, because it seems like Pedro's body kick and the sharp punches he's landing on people are really, really having big impact.
He was so impressive on the feet, and I don't think Patricio is going to want to play to his strengths here and not engage with Carvalho on the feet when he is so good on the ground. It's a no-brainer to try and take him down and submit him, and for obviously Pedro's to stay on his feet and use those kicks, get flowy, as Artem says. And that's his key to victory. It's no secret here, and I think both guys are going to play to their strengths.
It's a big one for SBG, isn't it? I feel it is. Like, I mean,
it's been a long while since there's been any world titles
outside of Conor, of course.
It is huge, and it's huge for everyone in the gym, because it, you know, if you've a guy there and he's winning the world, like, imagine the boost that will give the gym if he wins a world title. Everyone,
it's not just that guy. You know, that's the casual take on SPG. It's not just they're all, if it wasn't for Conor, blah blah blah. So I do feel like it's a very big fight for them.
But it's been a long, long time. You know, there's like, you've other gyms in Ireland who've had world champions in other promotions in that time. And have we really from SPG?
No.
So it is. It's a big, big moment. And listen, best wishes to both guys, because it's going to be a good fight. But
I think it's going to be a great fight.
I just think I love that Bellator featherweight setup. I think, you know, you look at even Whiteshell and Emmanuel Sanchez, like two vets of the game. And you look, obviously, we hope AJ McKee's knee isn't as bad as
Pedro Carvalho certainly hopes.
Yeah, well, look, we all hope, because he's such a good fighter. He's one of the best featherweights in the world. That division, that tournament is just, it's the best thing Bellator have in their locker, in my opinion, by a long stretch.
And I'm excited to see what division they do in next. Like, it is a genuinely intriguing.
But it's
thing.
Just the numbers they have there. Every fight nearly on that, you know, probably in these quarterfinals are left. They're very, very close fights. They're very hard fights to pick. And I think that's where people have maybe got disinterested in other divisions in Bellator, and we haven't seen this kind of narrative that, you know, Pedro and Pitbull are putting on, and people are getting really interested in it. And it's just great to see. It really is.
Well, without further ado, let's go to our interview now with Pedro Carvalho.
I don't always like Bellator.
No. Look, he said something nice there. But let's go to our interview with Pedro Carvalho, a man who has become a very, very interesting figure on this European scene. A guy who's bowled over even my American colleagues when they saw him at the press conference over there. He'll be at the New York press conference, which will have happened already by the time this podcast comes out. But always great to speak to him. And I'm really looking forward to the fight this weekend. I can say no more. So here's Pedro Carvalho. And now we are joined by Pedro Carvalho, who will look to claim another title for Europe this weekend when he takes on Patricio Pitbull in a very, very anticipated bout. There is bad blood. There is a lot being said between the two. Pedro, how are you feeling ahead of this fight this weekend?
So, Pete, I feel great, you know. Like I've been saying, that's the thing that I've been saying more this week. I'm great. One day closer to become world champion, so each day I feel even better.
You know, it's amazing to me when I think about your whole career, though, Pedro. You know, you've come over to Dublin, maybe one of the lesser-known guys who was signed to Bellator, first of all, and then you've gone on this incredible run, and now you're on the verge of getting that gold strap. I mean, has this been an emotional journey for you? Because it seems like you've gone from something, you've gone from nothing to something huge, a contender in the Bellator featherweight division. Does that journey, you know, what does that mean to you personally?
I mean, personally, very personally, I just, the only feeling, a thought that I have about my career so far, my Bellator career so far, is deserved. You know, I just deserve this. You know, like, I've been sacrificed my whole life for this. I given up of being a normal kid so I could be what I am today. I sacrificed to be close to my family to be what I am today. I sacrificed be with my son on his first 18 months of life.
Wow.
You know, to be what I am so I can give him a future that I never dreamed to have, you know. So this is just, for me, it's just a little treat from comparing from the sacrifice that I've been put through, you know. So that's the only feeling that I have about all this, you know. And I'm not gonna kind of shine because of this. This is not. I work for way more than this, you know. This is only a little treat, you know. This for me, this is just another day in the office. This is just another guy that everyone thinks they're gonna beat me. And I go out there and I'm going to dominate him and finish him. That's it, you know. Like, this is just another day in the office for me. I'm the underdog. I'm the huge underdog. And I go out there and I do what I do best. That is fight and beat guys, you know. So I'm just happy. And I truly feel that this is just a little treat compared for what I've been sacrificed all this time.
That's amazing. And it seems there's a lot between you two guys. Like, I feel like, you know, even if, of course, we all know you in Europe, but I feel like the Americans have been very attracted to the way that you've built this fight. You've put your finger right in this guy's chest. We have a feature coming out later this week on MMAfighting.com where you and Pitbull ask each other five questions. And I won't get into what you guys said, but it was very clear when we were gathering the answers and questions that, you know, this is very personal between you. Does that help you? Does that help help to motivate you ahead of a fight when you don't necessarily like the guy too much?
Pizzy, I'm going to be honest. I'm cold-blooded in this thing. You know, I don't care. Everything that is said, everything that we go back and forth in social media, for me, it's just fun. You know, he I don't know how he takes, if he's taking that very personally. I just been seeing that he's showing some weaknesses, you know, psychologically, because he's taking this like way too personal. But hey, is his personal way to take things? I don't care, you know. I just want him to show up. I'll show up. I'll be there, and I'll bring the scrap, you know. So that's the only thing that matters to me. I don't care if he says this or says that. If he tried to play the hero and try to make me look like the bad guy in this story, like, I don't care about all that, you know. For me, that's all kind of soap opera things, you know. I don't care about that. You can do whatever you want. If you want to be an actor or something, go ahead, you know. But the only thing that I'm focused on is beat his ass, you know, and prove everyone wrong, you know. That's what excites me the most, and what gives me really happy, you know. Happiness is having this chance of just shut everyone's mouth.
It would be huge for you, right? Like, I mean, if you claim the title here and then go through to the
semifinal, it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge.
But when this happens, if this goes according to plan, you know, you have won the belt off a guy who's considered the greatest fighter on the Bellator roster. Like, how much confidence would that give you going into the semis and then the final? Like, I mean, it would be huge, right?
No, it would be just another day in the office. Yeah, like I've said before, like, when I say that I believe that I'm the best in the world, I'm not saying this because it sounds nice to the camera. This is what I believe since day one, since my 13 years old, that I will be what I am. I said to everyone, even with no examples in Portugal of a guy in the high level of the sport, with one example, you know, everyone told me, Pedro, you never had even a Portuguese man close to that, you know, and I just said, I'll be there. And I am here, you know. I don't like to say that I'm not wrong, you know, but everything that I said, I did it, you know. And I didn't, not because I predict or this or that, because not only I believe, I know myself, I work my ass every single day, you know. So beat Patricio Pitbull is just, you know, won't be a surprise for me, because I know what I'm capable of. And if I believe, if a guy truly believes that he's the best in the world, like, why I should be extra confident to beat him, you know? In my head, that's my obligation. Go out there and beat him, you know, and then go and beat the other and beat the other and beat every single one they put in front of me, you know? Beat guys doesn't bring me confidence. Just gives me more certain that I'm what I'm saying is true, you know? The rest is rest, but no. Beat Patricio Pitbull won't give me extra confidence. Of course, he's gonna give me happiness, of course, because having Patricio's name in my trophy list, it's something very nice. Like I said, it's probably even at this stage probably even better than winning the belt. Mm. But you know, it's just another day in the office in the end.
You know, one thing I've always noticed about you, you're always chasing the hardest assignment you can get. You always want the toughest fight. You want to fight the guys who are considered the best in that division. And one thing we've noticed is AJ McKee, his position in the tournament might be jeopardized because of a knee injury. Is that upsetting for you, knowing that you wanted to fight him? You wanted to go in and prove that you're better than this guy? Or is that far from your memory? I mean, far from your mind at the moment as you prepare for Patricio?
No, yeah, I really knew, and straight away, like, I can tell that straight away I was pissed off, you know. I was pissed off, and I'm pissed off because it's not officially yet, but yeah, I'm a bit pissed off because, first, I don't desire bad to anyone, you know. Like, in the end of the day, we are human beings, and I don't wish bad things to anyone, you know. It doesn't matter who he is. And yeah, like, I want, you know, I mean, he can fight, he can even lose with Caldwell, you know what I mean? But yeah, but I wanted really bad to get him, like, he will be my pick, you know. I was waiting for the December slot because no one was picking him, and I was like, yeah, this is it. I'm going to get my chance to put my hands on him. And then Campos went in front of me. But yeah, I hope everything goes well for him. He keeps on the tournament, and I'll meet him in the final. You know, hopefully that's what happened. But like I've said, like, you can have hand on this. The same thing as on the quarterfinals fight between Sanchez and Weichel. You know, for me, if I could pick, I would pick Emmanuel Sanchez because he's one of the favorites guys. He's one of the top contenders. Everyone says this about him, this about that, and if I could choose, that would be the guy that I would choose to the semifinals only because of that. But you know, you cannot control that things, you know. In the end of the day, I just want someone there so I can beat, so I can go on and win this whole thing, you know. But we cannot choose these things.
We talked about what this means for you, but what does it mean for SBG? This is a first world title fight in a long time that doesn't have Conor's name attached to it. I mean, do you feel like the gym is getting behind you? I have to say, I heard great things about you just months into your career with SBG and from the biggest names in the gym, like, you know, Peter Queeley, Artem Lobov, singing your praises, singing your work ethic. Do you feel like this is having an effect on the gym as well? Do you feel them getting behind you?
Oh, 100%. That was one of the things that made it so easy to move to Ireland. Though, like, from the very first day that I moved to Ireland, I felt like an Irishman because I was so well received, so like supported and treated, you know. And like, I never felt that I was outside of my home. I just felt in home all the time, you know. And it's been like that since day one. It's like not because I'm now fighting for a belt that I feel that I have more support. The support is the same, and it's been absolutely fantastic to see. You know, of course, this time people are trying to give their best to give me, like, you know, some extra energy to bring to this fight. You know, because they want this also as me, and it's been amazing, like, this camp. To see so everyone so involved, you know, so attached to this, like I am, and like I've been saying many times, we are not a team, we are a big family, you know. We take care of each other, we got each other's back, and be able to not only write my name in the history team, being able to bring such an achievement to the team, you know, and help built a little bit more the team's name. It's just a blessing for me, you know. It's truly a blessing, you know. Like, I am what I am because of these guys. I am what I am because of the team, and be able to retribute like with a world belt is, I think, it's just, you know, a blessing for me.
We know that Conor sometimes gives his teammates a bit of last minute encouragement. Have you talked to him at all? Has he corresponded anything with you ahead of this title fight? I know it will mean a lot to him as well, seeing a guy like you from his gym going in and fighting Patricio.
Yeah, we talk more like on the beginning of, on the midway of my camp. There was when he was getting ready for Cerrone, you know. Mm. He was more around the gym. Like, after the Cerrone fight, he's been in the gym, in the gym, but we never crossed paths, you know, so we never had the chance to talk. But yeah, but like last time, for example, against Cecilia, we had a chance, and but yeah, like I know he's behind. Like, for example, on the end of the Sam Cecilia fight, he gave a call, which was like half five in Dublin, you know. So yeah, like I said, we are a big family in SBG. We support each other. We are behind each other. And like I said, we are not team members or teammates. We are families. We are brothers and sisters that are taking care of the family and the wealth of the family. That's it.
You know, Pedro, the one thing I've noticed from talking to you ahead of this fight is that you feel like if this guy stands with you, he's going to be in big, big trouble. I know that you feel like you're one of the most elite strikers in Bellator at the moment. But just give us your perception here. What happens if Patricio comes out and he does try to exchange you? He does try to go punch for punch with Pedro Carvalho. What happens then?
then we'll see. You will see what's gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm like I don't like to say to when I speak about my skill set, I don't like to speak about my striking or this, or because I'm resuming myself as one thing. Like, I'm an MMA fighter. I can finish this fight, whatever this fight goes on, you know. And if he tried to take me down, there will be no problem. I'm good with my back on the mat, on top, against the cage. Doesn't matter, you know. But yeah, like I'm counting that he is gonna try to stand up with me, you know. But I'm also aware that he's smart. He's not stupid. He doesn't take risks. But who knows? If you take risks, that's gonna. I'm gonna like it. I'm gonna like very much. But yeah, we are ready for everything. Doesn't matter the outcome that he'll try to bring. Every corner is covered, well covered, and we are ready to everything. And in the end, you know, we have all the solutions to implant our game plan, and everything goes as I've been said.
You mentioned your son and missing out on a lot of the first 18 months of his life because of your training and your fight career. Are you conscious that this moment will be something he'll look back on and you'll be able to explain to him the sacrifices you made to get to this position, you know, when he's older, maybe 10 years from now? Are you conscious of that this will be a moment that he'll ask you to tell him about probably for the end of time if everything goes the way you plan it to? Even if it doesn't, the fact that you've climbed this mountain so quickly in his younger years where he's just coming into the world, do you realize how much that will mean to him later on in his life?
Yeah, I know that there will be like big thing, but at the same time, I don't think about that too much, because I want my son to have his own thing, you know. I don't want my son to be like the Pedro Carvalho's son.
Right.
You know what I mean? I want him to be Benjamin Carvalho. That's it. He will have his own thing, whatever he decides to be, and go forward. And I never really think about that. Like, I just think about the opportunities that I can give to him, the life that I can give to him. And that's what matters to me, you know. I don't intend to have my name attached to him like a shadow or something, you know, because, you know, that's never good. So, you know, I never really thought about it. Of course, that there will be big things, especially if he's, you know, proud of what his dad done, you know. But in the end of the day, what really means and is important to me is the life. And that I can, you know, give to him the best life that I can possibly give it to him. That's what matters really to me.
Oh, I guarantee he's going to be very proud of you, Pedro. Absolutely. No doubt about it. I got one more question. It's a bit of a cliche, but I got to ask. What is your prediction for this fight? When you think about it, when you're at home, when you're thinking about how this fight goes down, what way does it finish for you?
Since this fight is scheduled, I've been said, like, I even have a note. But that note I will show after the fight.
Oh, come on! Don't tease us, Pedro. Don't tease us.
No, I'm gonna tell. I'm gonna knock Patricio out. That's for sure. But the way, you will see. You will see how I'm gonna finish it. But doesn't matter. Like, I say that I truly feel from the very first moment that I'm gonna knock him out. But at the same time, I'm not going there to looking for a knockout. You know, I'm a mixed martial artist. I can finish the fight anywhere, and I like to go in there with my head like a blanket paper. You know, I just gonna slowly, second by second, minute by minute, I'm gonna write the history of the fight, and we'll see. And the finish will appear. If he's on the ground or standing up, and if he doesn't appear, doesn't matter. I'm gonna get the job done in the end, and that's what matters to me.
Well, so what do you have a technique written down here on this piece of paper and a round?
How specific are we going here? No, it's not a fancy. No, it's not a technique. It's not about a technique. It's just like, it's just something that I see happen. You know, it doesn't mean that it's gonna happen. But I truly believe that it might happen, you know. But like I've said, like, I don't like to get stick with thoughts of something, because then you're gonna limit yourself to that thing, you know. But yeah, I'm seeing myself knocking Patricio out.
Pedro, I'm very intrigued by all of this, and I can't thank you enough for getting on speaking to us today. Best of luck at the press conference later on, and I cannot wait for this fight this weekend. We're all rooting for you here in Europe.
Thank you very much, Pizzi. Appreciate the time, and yeah, I'll give Europe one more belt. Don't worry about it.
Good man, Pedro. Thank you so much, sir. Well, there we have it, Pedro Carvalho. What a man.
Lovely fella.
A very inspirational man, I must say. It's hard not to get behind him when you hear what he's put himself through to get himself into this situation. Incredibly driven dude. Like, I don't sense even an ounce of bullshit off that guy.
There's no doubt. Yeah. He's no doubt in his mind about anything that he's going to do. And he's very decisive in what he says, as we were talking about earlier on what he wants to do. And as you said there, I think, you know, he talked about his son. Just a very likable guy, a really, really likable guy. And it's hard not to root for him.
Yeah. You know, look, he's Team Europe. What do you want me to say?
Yeah.
You
know? So, yeah.
I can't say it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it is, you get people like that, and, it's an intriguing battle. And I think if you're going to write him off, you're a very, very silly person, because listen, he could go out there and do this on Friday night.
The New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, this is very worrying. Just crashed.
Jesus.
While we're on air here.
Does that not mean I'm not getting paid now tomorrow? How does this impact me? That's all I want to know.
Fuck, I spent my last fucking few quid on a vegetarian pizza last night. I'm not even joking.
Hang on a second.
I've literally 12 euro in my bank account. I'm not even joking.
Tell the people, when's the last time you ate red meat?
2 weeks ago.
Jesus.
Two weeks ago tomorrow, yeah.
Or any kind of meat, is it?
Yeah, nothing. I've had nothing.
Even white meat?
Nothing.
Jesus. So,
yeah, like, for someone who eats a lot of red meat, like, it's...
Did Joaquin Phoenix's speech have a big impact on you at the Oscars?
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. I don't know. I think just when the coronavirus stuff started hitting up, I was like, oh, geez, I'll just maybe lay off the meat. I'm getting a bit fat. To be honest, I've always sort of looked at... I watched that... James Wilkes did, yeah, and I said, just be interesting to see if you did a little bit more energy and stuff like that, because I did... Man, I used to eat, like... bloody a lot of red meat. Like, I'd be eating 3-4 times a week, probably. Steaks, you know, rib roasts, all that sort of shit. So I've noticed my gut is not as bloated as it normally would be.
So you think you're gonna stick with it? What's the plan? Like, I mean, is it the...
There's no real plan. I'm just said fuck it. I'll just, you know, just
do day to day.
Maybe eat a little bit healthier, because I've put on a lot of weight in the last couple of years. And
I think you're gorgeous.
I think I am too, and you know, when I go
out... Alain's friends took interest there in El Pico, yeah, put up the other day, didn't they?
Hook a brother up, do you know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, listen, I just need to start getting healthier. I don't want to die.
I don't want you to die either, no.
Yeah, some people do, but...
Well, look.
Not everyone, but...
There's no need to talk about Neil Seary like that.
he's a little Welsher, isn't he?
Oh, no,
stop. But now, listen, that is worrying, the New York stuff. Holy shit, like, it's obviously a direct knock-on of... I'd imagine, of what's going on in terms of the coronavirus, and it's just mental shit. Fuck me. Just
we'll still be here in London. They're not gonna take this away from me. One of the biggest weekends in European MMA. Oh. They cannot do this to me.
Man, I wouldn't be holding your breath for that card. So what was going on? How was your wedding? Discuss.
It was fantastic. It was a lot of late nights. I wore a beautiful suit. I felt fantastic.
Is Elaine better?
Elaine was meant to be on antibiotics, but somehow ended up on the sauce.
She did.
But I was just saying, I'm having nothing to do with this.
What did I say to you? You were going, oh, Elaine's sick, we can't drink, I'm not drinking. I said, shut the fuck up, Petey. You're going to be drinking. Not a hope you're not at a wedding.
I was drinking, as soon as I woke up that day.
Yeah. I pollied off your sake as well.
Oh, did you, yeah?
It's all gone, not a fucking drop.
There's
left.
Red meat in it.
Oh,
man.
Rocket fuel, petrol, great stuff.
It's me, the low energy this week. It's me because of this wedding.
Shit happens, man. Listen, we can't, like, it's tough. Like, it's tough. Too much sport on at the weekends. We've weddings the odd time we have to go to. We just have to accept it. It's just part of the fucking game, man. It's part of the process.
Fantastic time with the wedding, though.
Did we show up on Monday? Did we show up today? Did we get it done? Did we get over the line? We fucking did. So, fuck yous all.
The goats.
Fuck you so.
Well, look,
you're such lovely people. You know what you look like? You look like the fucking Grim Reaper there with the hood up.
I'm in bits. I'm fading rapidly. I'm just going in between thinking, oh yeah, I'm full of beans. Yeah. Oh, I was up at 3 a.m. this morning because my body clock is so fucked from that weather.
No, I'm just
sleeping 2 hours a night.
Just in general, my body clock is fucked. It's like, yeah, 2-3 hours. Like Monday, Tuesday last week, I think it was 3 hours between the two of them. Mental Yikes. Stuff.
Well, so. Look, let's look ahead to the weekend.
And United beat City.
Yes, let's look ahead to the weekend. Perhaps another European champion crowned. Wouldn't that be fantastic? A lot of things going down. A lot of moving pieces. We're going to be back next week with another fantastic guest list, no doubt about it, for your 74th episode of Eurobash, your audio broccoli. Don't show it to any casuals. They're constantly trying to break through the walls and become diehards like us. Don't let them listen. Only share it with your cool friends because we hate losers.
Peace.
Thank you very much. Mwah.